Yes, good morning to everyone. It's Roberta here.
Hi,
So
Roberta.
the purpose, good morning. The purpose of this session is to provide board members with an update on the progress of the balloting process of the Amendment IFRS 17 and on the other activities to support implementation of IFRS 17. At the supplementary board meeting last Friday, the board confirmed that the finalization of the amendment to IFRS 17 and the amendment to IFRS 4 to extend the temporary exemption from applying IFRS 9 remains urgent. So the finalization is urgent because entities implementing the new requirements need certainty about the amendments to avoid undue disruption to implementation already well underway. So we continue to work in line with our timetable, and we plan to issue the amendment IFRS 17 and IFRS 4 around the end of June. The pre-ballot draft of the amendments has been circulated to board members and to a selected group of external reviewers. We have already received most comments from reviewers, and they are now in the process of analyzing those comments to identify if there is any need to refine any aspect of a prior board decision or address any consequential matter. If we identify any such need, we plan to bring them as sweep issues to the May board meeting. In addition to the amendments to IFRS 17, there are other activities we have undertaken to support implementation, including developing educational material and holding meetings of the transition resource group. All the educational material can be found on the IFRS 17 supporting implementation page on our website. And the educational material on the website is, of course, about the requirement in IFRS 17 as originally issued, and does not reflect the proposed amendment to IFRS 17. Overall, this material has proven to be helpful for main stakeholders in explaining the key requirements of IFRS 17, and therefore we are not planning to withdraw that material. We think that it might still be helpful for entities that are at a less advanced stage of implementation. And in fact, only a limited number of the educational materials are affected by the amendment. Nonetheless, when the amendments are issued, we plan to individually caveat each piece of material to make it clear that, for example, the slide or a webcast were developed in the context of IFRS 17 as originally issued in May 2017. And that the materials related to the final amendments to IFRS 17 provide information about the changes to IFRS 17 that we plan to finalize in June this year. In this regard, to assist our stakeholders, we plan to make available a new webcast that will explain what changes have been introduced by the amendments. We envisage that this webcast will follow the order of the other webcasts already available on the website, so that it is easier for stakeholders to understand how to read and use the educational material. Finally, regarding the Transition Resource Group, at present, no further TRG meetings are scheduled. However, the TRG has not been disbanded, and it is available for consultation by the board if needed. In addition, there is still scope for stakeholders to make us aware of implementation questions by email. So this was the brief update from the insurance team for this meeting. And with that, I hand over to board members for any comments or questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roberta. Great that you're making so much progress. I believe Daryl wants to come in.
Thanks, Hans. I just wanted to say very quickly that as a starting point, I agree with everything that, Roberto said, and thanks, Roberto, for, the comments. I just wanted to comment on the educational guidance because I think it's very relevant. I think it's very important, the update that you've given on that educational guidance. And I agree with you that the guidance needs to remain on the website. From all the feedback I've had, people are finding that guidance very useful, and that guidance continues to be useful as, people go through the process. And I think we discussed when we discussed the timelines of IFRS 17 that we are aware that some of the big insurers are, ahead of the game, but that a number of the smaller insurers are coming in a little bit later in the process. And I think for them, that guidance is important. But I think your point about the fact that the guidance on the website is about the requirements of IFRS 17 as originally issued is really important. And I think it is really important we get the message out there that those using the guidance need to be aware that there have been some changes that we're in the process of getting ready to publish. They need to be aware that when they're looking at that guidance, it's likely that it may be outdated. And I think the caveat that we put on the website is really important in that space. And certainly I'm making it a point in any presentations I do of highlighting that issue too. I think there's one really good example that I've been hearing about quite a lot over the last couple of months, and that's the guidance we issued very specifically on mutuals. I think that guidance as written is both still very useful and is substantially correct. But I know we are providing a clarification of some of the words in the basis, and I think that while that clarification is very nuanced, it may impact on whether the guidance is relevant to particular entities. And so I think it's a good example of somewhere where people should be exercising care in the way they use guidance. I don't think they should stop using the guidance. I think it's there and it's there for a reason, but they need to exercise that care. Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else who would like to come in? No? Okay, thank you, Roberta. Then